Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
But Scripture is clear that you are supposed to do some things.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with financial expert Michelle Singletary.
So when in the whole armor of God, there's a part of the Scripture that says, after you've done all that you can, then stand. And that's what the Lord says. So all mean, have an emergency fund. Live below your means. Don't live the American dream on debt. Live your financial truth. Help other people. Don't just save for yourself. That's selfish. Do what Joseph did. Save, and save not even knowing that you're going to be able to help somebody else.
Yeah.
And then after you do all of that, the blessings will come. I think that you can position yourself to be a blessing to your immediate family, your country, and the world.
You can learn more from Michelle Singletary at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. McGinnis, even as rodeo riders go, at age 42, after a lifetime of getting thrown down, stepped on, dragged around, and busted up in the ring, despite all of that, McGinnis, a champion of world renown, was still one rough, tough customer. But then June 10, 1934 came, what folks on both sides of the rail would refer to a generation thereafter as the Big Wreck. This is how it happened. When rodeo fans in and around Livermore, California learned that McGinnis was coming to town, there was, as usual, much excitement. The stories were retold, how McGinnis atop a crop-eared burrow had jumped an irrigation canal at the age of three, how McGinnis had run the clock out for the first time on a bucking bronc, and the first time on a crazy mad bull, how the rodeo star had invented many of the daring moves now called standard, and was still among the few who could perform some of them. And now, having won trophies and titles on three continents, the great McGinnis was returning to Livermore, and an eager throng bustled and buzzed that this would be the most remarkable rodeo ever. Unfortunately, they were right. Perry Blakely was riding alongside that Sunday when McGinnis' mount went down heels over head, crushing its rider against a railroad tie fence post. Horrible sound, horrible sight to witness, Blakely said later. So far, a real shame. From here on, real shameful. The massively injured rider was taken immediately to the local hospital and x-rayed. To the medical staff, this obviously hopeless case seemed hardly worth their effort. The x-rays were every bit as grim as first glances had indicated. Three broken ribs and a shattered collarbone, a shattered hip, and a spine that had been snapped in five places. Meanwhile, at least one of the ribs had skewered a lung, and the patient was spitting clots of blood. Doctor came in and asked, how do you expect to pay for all of this? McGinnis, in gut-busting pain and barely able to speak, murmured that there was no insurance. The doctor walked out. Walked out. And after 7 hours lying there unattended, the patient, so-called, was carted off to Alameda County Hospital. And there, hours more passed before a terse, seemingly careless examination elicited a scream. The nurse retorted, shut up. And thereafter, the great rodeo champion languished untreated until 5 o'clock the following afternoon, when family and rodeo personnel finally tracked McGinnis down. For you see, the busted-up rider had been deposited at Livermore Hospital in such haste that everything from paperwork to patient was, for an entire day, completely lost. Oh, McGinnis lived to tell, lived to walk again, if not to ride, even reached a ripe old age of 98. But back in 1934, this great veteran of every thundering danger rodeo has to offer, suddenly anonymous, nearly succumbed to a preconception that if you can't pay, what good are you? Particularly if you're a woman alone. Americans, when you visit the Rodeo Hall of Fame and you encounter the name Vera McGinnis, you'll know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Sound Off. We have Murray Powell in studio. Thank you, sir, for coming in.
Welcome.
And he's with TAG, Templeton Area. Or wait, Templeton. I was in it. You think I would know how? Because there's two A's. There's two A's of TAG. That's what is messing with.
Templeton Area Advisory Group.
Okay, and so they advise the county on things that the residents in Templeton. So they are representation of Templeton residents to the County Board of Supervisors for the most part. And so, and Templeton is one of those groups that actually gets, you know, a lot of these, if you go out to Santa Margarita, there's not a whole lot going on with SMAC out there. That's what they're called, right? And because there's just not a lot of development. Yeah, there's not a lot of development out there. You know, Creston, there's not a lot of development. Templeton gets its fair share of development. And to me, it makes that group important, you know, to have that voice in the county of what the residents want. We know it's not always listened to. But it's nice to have that voice, and I hope the county takes that voice seriously. So thank you, sir, for being on there. You've been on for a lot of years. You know, lately, I think we'll go after the elephant that's sitting next to you. There was there was a few in the last, 6 months or so?
Yeah.
So a little bit of drama going on there. It's kind of ended right now. I wouldn't say it's ended, but we have... And I don't know if the chair is still in jail or if you got bailed out, but your chair has found himself on the wrong side of the law, and I believe was escorted out of the courtroom and into county jail.
Yeah, but he's out.
Okay.
Yeah, he called me that afternoon, actually, and he had to put up. So he'd already put up $300,000 worth of bail. And they increased his bail. When they booked him, they've increased his bail to $450,000. So he had add in another $150,000. But and he made a deal with the bail bondsman. He only had to pay 5% instead of the 10%.
All right.
So, but he was out.
Okay, good.
In the afternoon, but
and that was kind of a deal with neighbors. I guess there's an ongoing feud of sorts, I guess, and I don't really know what was going on. I don't know what he did or what he didn't do. And, you know, like we were saying in the last segment, you're always innocent until proven guilty in our country. So, but it made the news. A lot of people were talking about it, and it's not always the greatest light you want to have your organization shining in. No. But I want to reiterate, I think these groups, whether it's TAG, whatever advisory group, and there's, I don't remember how many are throughout the county, but they play an important role to represent.
There's 11, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of us are in North County.
Okay. And these, you know, I think our rural communities, which I live in one, you live in one, we need a voice, and realistically, we don't. We don't have a city. Our city council is the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah.
And they're looking at what's good for the whole county. And these communities, groups, you know, have our best interests in heart, and they try their best to represent us. So I'm in no way, I guess what I'm trying to get to the general audience is I'm not trying to tear down TAG. I'm just saying this has been in the news. It's and there was a few other things, I believe. I don't know if you want to go into all of it, or should we just pass it up? I believe you guys just had your elections. There's been back and forth.
Yeah, I'll go through a little bit of that if you don't mind.
Yeah, I'd love to hear. And we need people. You guys just had yours in March. we need people that live in Templeton or wherever to vote in these elections. Usually the turnout isn't great because they don't realize until they need you guys to be on their side, hopefully, that your group exists, or it's, oh, it's not a big deal until that project's going in next right. door or whatever it may be.
Yeah. So, you know, real quick, just for the general public, there's a lot of confusion over what an advisory group is. So we're only, we're all volunteers, no compensation. We have seven regular board members and two alternates at TAG. They've been around since 1994. We have no authority. All we can do is review, and one of our main items is reviewing land development projects, all kinds. But we also deal with other issues in the in our area. And so TAG itself, its boundaries are the Templeton Unified School District, but we go outside our boundaries if we feel like there's items that are going to affect us, even though they're not located right in our boundaries. So
right.
we go wherever we need to go. So it's only recommendation and so on. So, and I've been on TAG for 10 years. So I've been there a hell of a lot longer than any of them. until recently, I've had no problems. I've been vice chair by choice for the last four chairs that I worked with no problems, or last three. And the fourth one, who it was Jennifer Jones, who resigned on December 16th, unknown to me at that moment. You know, we've worked real good together. I'm actually sorry that she has left. I would love to have her back. I said we've had our disagreements on certain things, but that's part of it. You know, we have a board that's supposedly all elected, and each one of us has our own opinions on how certain things should be handled, and that's the way it should be.
Right.
So anyway. So what's happened now is, so first Jennifer Jones resigned, and then there's a provision in the bylaws that you can remove a member, which was me, that happened in January, which was kind of laughable because we have an annual election of half of our board seats, and I was up for election, and the way it works is if there's less, we had four open seats, and we have less than four candidates. So the way it works is anybody that declares for a seat, which I did, we're automatically placed back on the board. So I was off for 1 month.
Right. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And then what happened in, so my first meeting back was in March, and that one got, they didn't even have a quorum. They need four of seven board members to have a quorum. And I wasn't even on the board yet. I was sitting there to get seated, and they only had three. So they called a meeting anyway, out of order. John Pichon was even there. And John, and we were ended up getting into it about this whole thing. And John finally said, "Hey, do you mind if I just get up and do my report?" You know, and we ignored him, and so he got up and left.
Right. Yeah.
So going back to the chair, who's David Leader, I actually have been involved with him. He was a friend. He's still a friend, really, right. Even though he and I definitely have our issues, but. I kind of got involved with him a couple of years ago on this deal that he's now having legal problems uh-huh. with. And it's a big neighborhood go-around about road access.
Okay.
And I don't believe some of the stuff I've read about, you know, claims of all this stuff that he's done. And I've actually been to two of his hearings earlier on, and I testified at one of them for him.
Right.
And not that he doesn't have some problems here, but I don't think it's to the extent that that you're reading in some of these articles.
Okay.
So, but anyway, so what's going on right now is we have another meeting next Thursday night. It's always the third Thursday of the month, regular board meeting.
That's this they have tonight, to, you said?
No, next
Oh, next,
week.
Okay.
Next week.
Forgot where we were.
19th.
Here. Yeah.
Or the, I don't know what day it is. It's next Thursday, week from today.
And those are located where, just so people know?
At the Templeton CSD boardroom, which is right next to the firehouse.
Across the street from the downtown park there.
Exactly. 6:30, and we encourage everybody to come. So, and one thing I want to reach out to is the community. We have a hell of a time. So we have 7 boards, regular board seats, and 2 alternates. We cannot fill all of the positions.
Okay.
It's been ongoing for a long time mm-hmm. now.
No, yeah. When I was there, we had trouble sometimes, but we had a pretty good group.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm reaching out to the community. You know, we got 8,000, I know a lot of them are kids, but 8,000 people in Templeton, and we can't even come up with 9 people out of that whole community that want to be involved. And
right.
I think, I don't want TAG to go away. I've had my problems with them, and I'm mm-hmm. going to continue probably to have them. But I think TAG has really done a great job. You know,
we killed.
If you heard about that roundabout project,
right.
which is, and I live really close to that, and so I know exactly what's going on there. We ended up getting the boards, our 2 Marino and Pichon to kill that project.
Nice.
At the last one. And now we have a new one that I was just showing you.
Yeah, yeah.
About this 1 mile extension of this trail I've never even heard of.
I think maybe later we'll go into that in detail.
Okay.
Just let's keep the story going, then we'll get into specifics. And one thing I will say about Murray, I was on the board for 4 years, I think? 3 or 4 years, I can't remember. And
you could come back too.
Well, I'm in Santa Margarita, so but but
we need out large board seat,
right? But I will say, you know, I had a good time with you. I think we had a great board. I know that sometimes we were at odds with each other, but I enjoyed the banter. There was never, at least for me, never ever hard feelings.
No.
And sometimes you get out there, have that banter. I enjoy it. You know, I feel like you do too. You're passionate about what you do. I'm passionate about what I do, and it's fun. And you're serving your community. So I would say, I think that plea you're giving is a good plea for people listening in the Templeton School District.
So you could be out in
Adelaide area. You could be there. You know, there's parts of that school district that are not in Templeton. So it doesn't mean you're not part of that group. If you're in that school district, you can show up on next Thursday night and say, hey, I'm interested. Or go to a couple meetings and see what they do. Engage the interest. You know, I'm sure you could communicate with anybody on that board and say, hey, I'm interested. I want to come to a few meetings, but can you show me the ropes? And what I noticed, at least when I was in there, especially with Bruce Jones and you, I came to you guys, said, hey, I'm interested in this, and you kind of fostered the interest, found out if I was a good fit, and then I put my hat in the ring.
Yeah.
And, you know, but what I think about that group is they were always, if you were interested in going, they tried to explain it to you. They tried to, here's the power, here's not the power, here's what we do, here's the banter, and kind of led you to an educated decision. And you know, I say get out there, go on Thursday, see what it's about, you know, contact the group. You guys have a website with contact information on it. Go to the website, which is just TAG.org, TAAG, or what is it? Templeton Area Advisory Committee.
Yeah, just search Templeton Area Advisory Group and it'll come right up.
So it's a good group to be with if you're in Templeton. That's you got to be in that school district, not necessarily Templeton because it goes into Paso.
Yeah.
But yeah, for sure, get out there and get involved. I mean, because that particular city, I think, it's very important because there is so much going on there.
Yeah. So So going back to a leader, I talked to him, you know, the other day I mentioned. So, and I told him, I said, he's done some really good things. Okay, he's done a lot with traffic and circulation and road stuff and all that. And I told him, I said, I don't really want you to withdraw from TAG, but I tell you, you need to, first of all, he is not actually the chair.
Okay.
Because when they had their March meeting, they were supposed to elect new board officers. And because it was out of order, they think they did it, but they didn't do it.
I heard that was just because there wasn't a quorum.
Yeah.
And you need a quorum to vote on things. Yeah.
Before you can even move forward.
Right.
And but I told him, I said, I don't want him to really withdraw, but he needs to step down or knock off telling everybody he's the chair, because this is not a good look for TAG.
Right.
Based on what he's going through. And he's got a court trial coming up on April 27th on this.
And again, I'll reiterate, because we've been talking a lot about this today, different people that have charges against him. We have talked about four people today, not you and I, but me and on this show. And none of them, except for one, and I got a text on this, so I want to make a retraction. I think I said she was guilty. Michelle Morrow had a plea of no contest, which is different from a guilty plea. So I want to make that right. But all of these people, without Michelle, they haven't seen their day in court.
No.
Or they're just starting to. So I want to make that clear. These are people who have charges against them. They're not necessarily guilty.
Yeah. So when I got removed, there was a provision that talks, it's not very well defined, it needs to be cleaned up, in my opinion. But basically, it even talks about if you have a felony that you would be removed. But, I mean, Leader hasn't been convicted of anything.
Correct.
Other than all the accusations. But the main thing is, I always tell folks at these meetings that I believe TAG is really important, because I feel that not only Templeton, but basically the North unincorporated area, I call it we're the stepchildren of Flow County.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes treated like a stepchild of Paso Robles.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back with more Sound Off. We'll begin continuing this conversation till the end of the hour with Murray Powell. Hope you'll join us.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages finishing higher following earlier losses and extending yesterday's rally as investors weigh the Iranian truce and as oil backs off session highs following news that Israel has agreed to start direct talks with Lebanon. The price of U.S. crude falling to over 97 bucks a barrel. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 notching their seventh straight day of gains. Most all of the 11 S&P 500 sectors closed higher, led by consumer discretionary, tech, and industrials, while energy lagged. The Magnificent Seven big cap tech stocks were mostly higher, led by Amazon and Meta. The Dow winners, Caterpillar, Amgen, and Amazon. The Dow decliners, Salesforce, IBM, and Chevron. The Dow rising 276 points. The NASDAQ higher by 187. S&P 500 up 42. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Need life insurance but have diabetes, high blood pressure, or on anxiety meds? If you're a 50-year-old male, even Porky, or with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of life insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. For affordable term life insurance, call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. 800-444-2013.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Marilyn from Templeton says, quote, Solarponics installed our system almost 20 years ago. There are occasions when your system needs to be serviced. With Solarponics, work is completed quickly with knowledge and skill. This is as important a part of a solar company as the original installation. Thank you, Marilyn, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing a lifetime of as important service. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners. Is your water heater over 7 years old? If so, replace it with a heat pump water heater before it fails and save thousands in energy costs. Plus, new rebates cover up to 80% of the cost. Call or click to get a free, no-hassle quote today. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
And we are back with Sound Off. Again, my name is Eric Gorham. I'm filling in for Karen Veeley. She's, from my understanding, working on some projects. So you might want to check out Cal Coast News and see what she puts up there later today. It's always informative. We have Murray Powell from TAG. And I think, Murray, I'd like to go into just a little bit of maybe some projects that people would recognize that you guys had input in, and just kind of explanation. This is the input we gave, or I mean, we don't need to get into details, but I want people to understand what these area advisory groups do.
Okay. Yeah. So, we get referrals from the county on any projects within our area. And there's some interesting ones going on right now. Some of them have been around for a while. People are familiar with them to some extent, but just for updates. So one of them is a proposed gas station on Vineyard and 101 right by the high school and elementary school that has generated a lot of discussion from the public. And so they did a proposal, maybe it was several months ago, and we came back with them with different comments, and also the Templeton School District basically put out a letter recommending denial of the project because of the vicinity to the schools and so on. So the people on that one have come back with a revised proposal somewhat. All I've heard about it is that they were changing the aesthetic design of the station.
Okay.
And that's probably the least issue I have. It's still location right there on that 101
right.
Vineyard interchange and the schools.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see any real change. And they want a convenience store and other stuff there. So,
and that's in that lot on the right-hand side if you're driving out Vineyard?
It's
or?
On, you know, the Templeton T Hill.
Yeah.
It's
right there.
Below
that lot right there.
Right there where you would go to go north.
Yeah. I got what you're talking about.
Yeah. A couple other ones that have actually been approved now is there's a 60-unit hotel that's been approved by the county. We recommended it, and it's going to be right next door to the Templeton post office.
There's
about 2.5 acres.
Yeah.
And I really like the guy who's the promoter, or the actual developer, Dirk Winters, and he has projects on Moonstone Beach and everything. And they have designed that in our community Western style.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look this up, and it's really cool.
Right.
And then there's another one that we also approved that's right on Main Street that they also went back and redesigned to the Western style. Not as big and so on. So we need to put out agendas every month, mm-hmm. at least 3 days in advance. That's a Brown Act requirement.
Yeah.
And we post it on our website. It also gets picked up on Facebook here mm-hmm. and there. And there is a whole project list for people to look at. So anything that they are interested in, we recommend, we encourage them to stop by at our meetings and ask questions. I mean, our whole purpose is really outreach to the community and communication to the community to make sure they know what's going on in our area.
Correct. And I know one thing when I was a member there that was big back in that point was we had cannabis legalization and we had everybody wanted to grow cannabis. I think that sentiment has changed because there's no money in it.
But, yeah, exactly.
But I know you were a big part of that. And what it comes down to, I'm just going to set this up for you and maybe you can tell us a little bit about it. Is basically a lot of what tags say is to the supervisors or what they recommended is land use. And when it comes down to almost anything, it comes down to land use, whether, and then that was considered a specialty crop and which made him be able to put a lot of regulations on it. But you guys, especially you were big into that, were mostly fighting against because it, in my opinion, for the most part, a lot of these projects, I'm not against cannabis, but they didn't fit the neighborhood.
Right.
And if you want to go in a little bit about that, because then it kind of shows people kind of the other side of what you do when it comes to land use.
Yeah. So me personally, one of the reasons I've never wanted to be the chair is because I always wanted to be the chair of the Cannabis Project Review Committee. Mm-hmm. And the deal was if you were the overall chair, then you would not seat as a committee chair. And so, you know, we all got broadsided way back in 2017 and 18, you know, when Prop 64 passed and all that. And we were inundated. And basically, yeah, it came down to, we understand that, you know, using pot's legal, but that... in certain areas of our community, it's not just the right fit.
Right.
And especially with outdoor cannabis growth. So we've been able to actually kill several projects along the way. Probably should have killed a couple more. But now what's happened is because of the whole financial downturn of the cannabis market that There's nothing really going on.
You probably don't have too many people wanting to get into that, and I think a handful of the few that did got out of it because they were going bankrupt.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of them. A lot of investors. I've talked to a lot of investors that lost millions of dollars on failed deals that never even got to the approval process.
Right.
And so on. So, you know, that to me is good, you know. I was involved. It wasn't a tag project. It was up off of Union Road in Pemmon Springs. I call it the Pemmon Project.
Yeah, I remember that project. And, that one went for a long time.
Oh, yeah, that got approved in 2020, went through the appeal. The county approved, denied our appeal. We filed a lawsuit, and then it was negotiating for 3 or 4 years back and forth. There was going to be indoor and outdoor. They took out the outdoor. But we actually held our ground, and just a couple months ago, the applicants walked away.
Right. And I don't even know why you'd want to do it, because that industry tanked almost as soon as the legalization happened.
Yeah.
You know,
and it was exactly, you know, the big guys were going to come in, and all the little guys, you know, that were running around with their pot of gold. And the other thing is I keep track of the cannabis taxes, which the county has overridden.
They've done everything they can, I think, in of our county to not tax the industry.
And so if you do the accounting of all the county staff work that's been done over the years and what they've collected, it's been a loss to our county. It's been out of pocket funding out of, by our taxpayers for that industry. In the meantime, we have restaurants going broke, all this stuff. Maybe they ought to like focus more on folks like that once in a while.
So Murray, I kind of want to change gears because we still have a good amount of time, but it's going to go quick.
Okay.
And one thing we were talking when you first got here, and I know they've been talking about it on the radio in the morning, Kevin, is this corridor that they want to put between Templeton and Atascadero. And I think you know a little bit about this. You were showing me some pictures, and I didn't realize the monstrosity that they wanted to build and the eyesore that it was going to be. If you, you know, it, to me, we were always worried about the sheriff's station, the big tower, but that tower is nothing compared to this giant structure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you want to fill us in on that, what's going on?
Yeah, so that one got sprung on us at our last board meeting. Nobody knew that this had been referred. It was probably referred the night before or in the morning of our meeting. So it was not an agenda item or anything. And then David Leader, who thought he was running the show back in March, decided in the middle that, oh, we need to vote on this right now, which, of course, you can't do because it wasn't agendized, and because we only have 14 days to respond. And even our liaison, planning department liaison, even said, no, you guys have a lot more time than that. And any event, so like I showed you on this, on my computer here, that, yeah, so it's... The trail already exists. It goes from, like, I think behind the old feeding grain that no longer exists, down along the river, and then across to the north end of the Atascadero, mm-hmm. Vera Carrillo. But there's a 1 mile stretch of that they now want to improve, and this includes going two bridges in 1 mile. The one you're talking about.
For a pedestrian trail.
Yeah. And, it's going to be a paved trail.
Is it?
Yeah.
So I don't know. We're looking at...
But I don't think cars can do it.
Yeah.
But, we had a very brief referral on it. I could bring it up here if you want. But... anyway, so there's two bridges, but this one is a monstrosity. It looks like a huge erector set.
Yeah, this thing's going to look like an erector set from the highway when you go over that last bridge getting towards the off-ramp to go to Home Depot. There's going to be, you know, what
it's
that
in between.
Thing, yeah.
It's like halfway between, right there between the vineyard.
But it's where it's going over the creek, and this thing... Or the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
It's going over the railroad tracks, so the creek's a different bridge. But it is, yes, it looks like a giant erector set. It will definitely be an eyesore. And the question is, how much does it cost? Is it needed, Murray? What's your thoughts on this?
I called, and this is a public works deal. It's not even a planning. I mean, planning department's going to be involved, obviously. But... anyway, I got a hold of a guy who is kind of handling it a little bit, and it's very preliminary. But I did ask him because of this photo, and hopefully we'll put this on the TAG website so you can see the photos. It's unbelievable. But I said, so is this just kind of a conjured up design? And we've been working on this, and this is kind of what we're looking at. But... you know, the deal with it is that the big one goes across the railroad track.
Right.
And it's 150 feet long, 12 feet wide, and 40 feet high.
Right.
And it's like stairwells. When you look at the photo, you'll see there's stairways going up to the top,
zigzagging
across
up.
And back down. And anyway, so in talking with PW about it, they said, well, right now we're estimating $5 to $10 million. And there's another bridge. There's also one for a creek.
And I would say you'd probably double that.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it's been on KPRL, I heard, in the mornings now.
Yeah, they've talked
about
it.
Most people just can't even believe it because, you know, this is another poor use of our roadway money that we don't have.
Correct. So what they're calling this is a transportation corridor, kind of like what they did down in South County.
Travel corridor or something like that.
And it is a grab at more tax money. These are, and I believe, if you can tell me if I'm wrong, that becomes road tax money that they're grabbing because it's a corridor for transportation.
Right.
And they can grab roads. So that, all those taxes that we pay at the gas pump, you'd be surprised how many of these corridors or bike paths.
Yeah.
You know, they're not fixing our roads that are falling apart. They're building infrastructure that a lot of times doesn't need to exist.
Yeah.
And I feel that way in this case.
Yeah. And then, you know, tying that into this proposed sales tax increase.
Yeah. And I was at the Templeton post office today. I still have a P.O. box there. There's a man out there collecting signatures, and one of them is, and they're not saying it's part of the road tax, it's to improve infrastructure in San Luis Obispo. If you don't want more taxes, do not sign that petition. He does have some good ones out there, but I don't feel that one is one of them. Yeah. We'll be right back with more Sound Off and Murray Powell from TAG.
Use propane for your home or business? Family owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location, Paso Robles, refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more, call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
With the big, beautiful bill comes new tax laws, and for business owners, that means more rules, more details, and more chances to miss important savings. This is Billy Gallant with your locally owned and operated H&R Block offices. We stay on top of every tax law change so your business stays compliant and keeps more of what it earns. From deductions and credits to full business tax preparation, our experienced tax professionals handle it all with accuracy and personal service you can trust. Don't let new tax laws cost your business time or money. Call your local H&R Block office today to make an appointment and get your business taxes done right.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty, that's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 0219910.
Well, Rich London, it's spring. If I need a mattress, why should I spring into the mattress specialist?
If you look around, you're going to see mattresses everywhere in this store.
We're talking to Rich London, the mattress specialist.
They are stacked up almost to the ceiling, and I'm not kidding. And they're all on sale right now because I've got too much stock and I need to move it. So come on down quick and save big.
Enjoy the special springtime savings at the mattress specialist at 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
Back with our last segment of Sound Off. If you have any questions for our guests, please call in at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. Just a side note, we were talking during the break, and that was, so what we're talking about with that petition is a lot of you, especially if you listen to the show, you've heard of that slow cog tax that they've been trying to do for quite a few years. And so this is kind of a workaround where you don't need the supermajority vote, or was it two-thirds vote? You can get down to 50% plus one. Yeah. And this is a way around. So if you're signing that, you're kind of skirting a very important thing that we have here in California, and it's that bigger majority vote. Good afternoon, and thank you for calling Sound Off.
Good afternoon. I wanted to make a comment about the nice $30 million project that's proposed, because that's about what it would be.
Right.
I would love to see it, but not for $30 million. I mean, it would be great if I could ride a bike or walk from A Town to Templeton. I'd rather see the $30 million get divided into two and give $15 million to the Templeton Fire Department and $15 million to the Atascadero Fire Department. And let's just call it good, because they're both in need of funds.
They are. That's a good point. And I think, I don't know if you've seen the pictures of what they want to build, but it is a monstrosity. You think, what was that movie, The Iron Giant? This giant iron structure that it will tower over the highway on 101, and it'll be very visible.
I mean, ugly is always ugly when different people get involved, and you know, you still wonder. That's all to avoid the railroad, because the railroad won't allow them to do it in their area, I'm sure of, so that's what you get. But you know, end of the day, let's talk about spending money better. We know that we need more fire protection and, you know, more engines and more an updated building in Templeton. That money would go a lot further.
It would. And I think one thing that I'm always looking at is, do we even have the money to spend? We're in a county that's strapped. We're making cuts. We're not giving people raises. There's a million things going on in this county, and we're trying to find a way to spend $20 or $30 million that we don't have.
Yeah, we always have that, Eric. And then on top of it, if you looked at it on the other end of it, that, you know, with Slocog trying to put this tax in, well, tell me how other places are going to benefit from it. So, you know, we're going to benefit down the road, because PASA is going to get the exchange first, and then we're going to do this project. It just doesn't add up to me.
And I will say, just going back to what we were talking about, you know, when you see those petitions, you need to read them, because that is the slow cog tax, and that is a way to get it down to 50% plus one instead of a 2/3. And they're trying to sneak it in. So make sure you know what you're signing, because guess what? Those petitioners, a lot of them are getting paid, or they're trying to push an agenda, so they're going to make it sound great. And no offense to them, but read what you're signing. You wouldn't sign a mortgage without reading some stuff into it. If you're signing a contract with somebody, you're reading something into it. This is your tax dollars.
It's your tax dollars, and B, on top of it, it's like anything. It's like those petitions on Prop 13. Make sure we're signing the right things, and you're not getting upload in what you're signing.
Right, yeah, there was a dual petition going on. One was kind of a counter to the other, that was more taking away your rights a while back. I think that, is that still around, or is that one gone? I don't remember, but be careful what you're signing. You know, or just walk on by, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'd go one step further. If you're not sure what you're signing, the best place to sign a petition at any point in time, Republican headquarters, because they're not going to steer you wrong.
Oh, 100%. They're going to give you the lowdown on it. And you got one in Atascadero, and you got one in Arroyo Grande. They're both very easy to find. And you can always go to RPSLOC and find out those addresses.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Day.
You have a good one.
Thanks, Marty. Bye.
All right.
Yeah,
so
I got one suggestion for that extra money, too. We could start paying to renovate our schools.
Right.
So, you know, Templeton has a $60 million bond that barely passed by 51%, maybe, not even. And, you know, and so on my property tax bill now, I live in it's within the CSD. Or the school district boundaries. So I've got now $500 a year increase in my taxes to pay for renovating the schools that should have been done a long time ago.
Right.
You know? I mean, there's a lot of places to put money before you have to put it in on a trail.
100%. And, you know, I always go back to one thing, and I've said it on many different shows, is that we have come to a part in our society where we are led by our politicians. We are not guiding them, and our Constitution gives us the right to guide our country. We are the bosses. At the end of the day, it is we the people, and we've seemed to have a community, and I don't mean just here, but America, that is now led by their politicians, not the other way around. And we need to stand up and hold them responsible. And when they do the wrong thing, we fire them.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
So what else do we have? We're going to run out of time pretty quick. But
No, I think I've covered the bases pretty good. Right. I mean, if anybody has any questions. There's going to be some interesting things next week at the TAG board meeting at 6:30 on next Thursday. And because there's still a bunch of cleanup that needs to be done on how TAG has been operating for the last 3 or 4 months in violation of all kinds of issues.
So has the new board been seated?
No. Technically, they have not been seated because the meeting was in March was not properly convened.
No quorum, basically. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So
okay. So hopefully this month we can get a board seated.
Yeah, that's the main goal.
And but what else? What else of interest?
We have open seats, and we always have on our agenda, which we put out and mentioned earlier. We have a call for candidates. So if you're interested, we would love to hear from you, and we will. You know, you have to be a registered voter within the Templeton School District and a permanent resident, more or less, of Templeton. And we would be interested in hearing from some people that we need help with.
Right. And basically, there's not a whole lot of time spent. I mean, you can spend extra time. You also have subcommittees. But realistically, you're meeting once a month for what? 2 or 3 hours for the most part, maybe longer if you have some interesting things on there. You might have a subcommittee meeting here and there. But the time expenditure, this isn't a huge, you're not dedicating yourself to be the mayor of Paso or something, or a supervisor. You're going to spend a couple hours a month.
Well, I would say more. I mean, doing
everybody does it different. I will say Murray spends a lot more time. I know when Jones was there, you guys went to a lot. You met with a lot of people. Not everybody on the board did that. I met with people, but not nearly as much as you guys did.
Yeah.
I think there was also you had to get people that were retired and the people that had jobs. And a lot of times, at least when I was there, the people that were retired were picking up the slack, getting the information and bringing it to us, which I always appreciated.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is even if you spend 8 hours a month or more, it's not a huge thing and it's not all at once. The only other thing that's all at once is that 2 or 3 hour meeting. You know, if you get something crazy on the agenda, maybe a 4 hour meeting or something, because you're listening to the public speak too. And sometimes when there's some weird thing, I'm sure this corridor would be one if it was, put out there that people would show up for and say, no, not here.
It's on our agenda for this month, just as informational. So, and sometimes when we have things like this, we end up with standing room only in that meeting room. That meeting room will seat probably 25 people, but we've even had them standing outside the door because they couldn't get in on some of these, you know, and that's what we're there for.
Oh, 100%. It's to give your community a voice to the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah.
And, I would say if you're interested in that, you should, you know, hit the website up, make a phone call, send an email. I know you guys are always very quick at responding. Let's see here. Where are we going to go? We got a few minutes.
We do.
Yeah. Is there any other things we want to hit? How many seats are open right now? Do you have alternate and?
Yeah, we have the two alternates, and those are 1 year terms. And then they are on the next election. They go up for regular, or if a regular board member resigns, withdraws, then whoever the first alternate is goes up to that seat, and so on. So, and most of the time the alternates will end up voting because we'll always have to be short somebody at a board meeting.
So where are those meetings again?
Templeton CSD meeting room next to the Templeton Fire Department across from the park.
All right. Well, hopefully everybody can join. I think we were saying Thursday at 6:30 next Thursday, not this one. Get involved. Go down there. Get your voice heard, even if it's just to tell this board what you think they should do. Yeah. That's what they're there
Absolutely.
For. All right, Murray, thank you.
You're welcome.
And have a great week, KPRL.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.